Genesis chapter 18. And let's begin with this today. All right. How many of you began flossing this week? Anybody? Anybody start flossing? Hey, Sandra sent me an article this week. This lady said that she paid down $30,000 in debt just because she started flossing. I'm telling you, it works. This stuff works. If you missed last week, let me catch you up just real quick. Look, no matter who you are, old or young, cool, uncool, church person, not into church, every one of us has a story. And all of us have portions of our story that we love to tell. There are portions of our story that we love to tell. There's chapters of our story that we love to tell because we're excited and proud of that particular event in our life, that particular portion of our life. And unfortunately, we have parts of our story we're not that proud of. And, some of those pages and some of those chapters, we just want to rip them out, take them out of our story. And here's the thing. We can't change what has already been written in our story. There's some things in my story that I'm not proud of. There's some things in my story that I'd rather not tell. In fact, I would rather they not even be included in my story. But I can't change what's already been written in my story. But here's the good news. The good news is that our future story is yet to be written. So in this series, we're talking about decisions that we make that will write the story of our life. And before we get into today's decision, again, let's hit a quick review. Last week we said the decisions that you make today determine the stories that you will tell tomorrow. And we understand this truth. What we decide today will one day determine the stories that we tell about our lives. There's a guy named Andy Stanley, and he's a pastor down in Atlanta, and he's written some books, and the guy's very quotable. And I want to share this quote from his book, The Principle of the Path, because this is good stuff, and it's in your notes, and you should make note of this. He said, direction, not intention, direction, not intention, determines destination. Direction determines where your story is headed. You see, it's not about what you intend to say. It's not about what you intend to do. The direction that you're heading determines your story and determines your destination. It's like this. If you go, look, I want a good cheeseburger. I'm going to go to Five Guys and get me a cheeseburger, but if you head toward In-N-Out, you're going to be disappointed. I just started a burger war. Five Guys is better. The burger's better and the fries are better. I'm just saying, I know we're all proud of In-N-Out because it's all California. But if you intend to go to Five Guys, but your direction is toward In-N-Out, you're going to end up at In-N-Out. It doesn't matter if you intended to go to Five Guys or not. Now, by the way, if I seem a little on edge today, if I seem like I'm a little bit off my game, it's because I haven't had beef in 7 days. I'm just saying. See, the way that we live will ultimately determine the story that we tell. It's not what you intend to do or say. It's the direction that you're heading that determines your destination and will determine the story that you will eventually tell. See, not our intentions, but what we're actually doing determines the direction of our story. Now, that'll cause you to think. That will cause us to think about our decisions. That will cause us to think about the decisions that we make that determine the direction that we go. And look, we have to have the discipline. We must have the discipline to think these things through. We may even want to ask the question, if I continue down this path, what story will I tell? If I continue to make these kinds of decisions, what story am I likely to tell? Can I tell you something honestly from my perspective? When I hear somebody say, I have no regrets, I don't believe them. I don't believe them. I don't think they're being genuine. In fact, I find it refreshing when I hear somebody say, look, I've made some mistakes. If I could go back and do it again, I would. Somebody says, I have no regrets. I'm like, really? You've never made a mistake? There's nothing you would do different? When somebody says, I've made mistakes, and if I could go back, there's some things I would do differently, that's honest. So we have to learn to play the story out in our mind when we make decisions, because there are many times when I look back at my life and I think, if I could only go back and do that one thing over again, I wish I hadn't done that. And I can tell you that there have been many times that as a pastor, I've had people sit in my office, people who are full of regret. They have deep regrets. And they say things like, I would give anything if I could go back. I would do that differently. If I could go back, I'd do it differently. The decisions that we make today determine the stories that we tell tomorrow. And direction, not intention, determines our destination. So here's our question for this series. How do we live a story worth telling? Well, we have a key passage for this series, and I'm going to put it up on the screen for you, and you can follow along, and if you would participate with me a little bit today. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. It's a key passage for our series. Here's what the writer of Hebrews says. We do this, we live this life, we run this race, we do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus. Would you say that with me? We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus. Say it again. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus. And who is Jesus? He tells us. The champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Say that. Jesus is the champion of our faith. Jesus is the champion of our faith. Say it one more time. Jesus is the champion of our faith. Jesus perfects our faith. Now here's something cool. That idea of perfecting, it really comes from a word that can also mean author or writer. Oh, so if we keep our eyes on Jesus, he will write the story of our life. He will be the author of our story. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus. Jesus perfects our faith. He authors our faith. He initiates our faith. He is the author of our faith. Wouldn't it be amazing if we allowed Jesus to write the story, to author the story of our life? What if we were so focused on him and were so led by him that he was literally writing this story? That would be a life, that would be a story worth telling. See, we have a chance. We have a chance to live a story worth telling if we will keep our eyes on Jesus. Now, we're looking for some practical ways to get this done. And so we're making four decisions. Last week, we decided to start. And I know that some of you committed to start doing something in your life. You committed to starting a new discipline in your life. And I know that many of you set out to discover what you need to start in your life. And today we have another decision. I decided to stop. Today we're going to decide to stop. And again, we're going to go back to a story in the Old Testament. And in this account, we're going to see this guy, Moses. Now, Moses is an icon. Moses is an icon to Jewish and Hebrew folks even today. All right, this is the guy that led God's people out of slavery in Egypt. He's the one that led them across the Red Sea. He's God's guy. He was the man. And Moses is a guy that many of us can relate to. And here's why. If you're a single parent and you feel overwhelmed, you can relate to Moses. If you're in a job that's just wearing you out, that's draining you, you can relate to Moses. If you're a full-time student and you work a full-time job, you can relate to Moses. See, Moses felt that way. Moses was worn out by all of the problems that all of the people were bringing to him. He was mediating all of the disputes of all the people in Israel. He was solving all the problems. So his father-in-law, Jethro, he came to him and said, "Dude, you got to stop. You have to stop this in your life. You can't keep doing all this." And here's the advice that Jethro gave to Moses. Exodus chapter 18, we're going to start in verse 17. "This is not good," Moses' father-in-law exclaimed. "This is not good. What if I told you that you're doing something that's not good for your story? What if another loved one, what if somebody told you, you know, you're doing something that's not good for your story? What you're doing is not good. You have a habit, you have a mindset, you have an addiction, you have an attitude, you have thoughts. You have something in your life that is not good for your future story." Jethro told Moses, "You have something in your life that's not good for your future story." I pick up in verse 18. "You're going to wear yourself out, and the people too. This job is too heavy a burden for you to handle all by yourself. Now listen to me, and let me give you a word of advice, and may God be with you. You should continue to be the people's representative before God, bringing their disputes to Him. Teach them God's decrees and give them His instructions. Show them how to conduct their lives. But select from all the people some capable, honest men who fear God and hate bribes, and appoint them as leaders over groups of 1,000, 100, 50, and 10. Now, I love what Jethro says here. He says, "Let me give you some advice, and may God be with you." Moses, I'm gonna give you some advice because you need some help. You can't keep doing what you've been doing. You take my advice, and then you do what God wants you to do. All right? Here's the plan. You got to choose some leaders. Choose some capable leaders and train them to handle disputes. Choose honest leaders. Delegate your authority. Put some over 1,000, over 100, over 50, and 10. Now you look at verse 22. "And they should always be available to solve the people's common disputes, but have them bring the major cases to you. Let the leaders decide the smaller matters themselves, and they will help you carry the load, making the task easier for you. And if you follow this advice, and again, and if God commands you to do so, if this is what God wants you to do, then you will be able to endure the pressures, and all these people will go home in peace. They'll help you carry the load. They'll make your life easier. You'll actually live. You'll survive. You won't kill yourself doing this stuff. You'll live a story. You'll be able to live a story that you want to tell." And Moses listened. He listened. He followed Jethro's advice precisely. And Moses stopped trying to do everything. And it allowed Moses to live this story that we still tell today. Now, this is what I want you to do. I want you to think about one thing that you're doing that is not good in your life. Just think about one thing that you're doing that is not good in your life. We're going to commit one thing to God and ask Him to help us stop doing this one thing that is not helpful to our future story. And let me just give you two reasons to stop. There's many reasons. You could think of a million reasons to stop, but I want to give you two reasons that maybe you haven't thought of. First of all, you don't know what you're missing. Until you stop, you will never know what you're missing on the other side. When you stop, you're going to find something significant on the other side. You're going to discover what it feels like to not be overwhelmed. You're going to begin to discover the freedom of margin in your life. You have some space in your life. If you stop doing what Moses did, that's what you're going to experience, some margin, some space. And your relationships are better, and you experience peace. Maybe if you stop doing this thing, you don't know that you're missing this feeling of not looking over your shoulder thinking you're going to get caught. You won't be worried about when it's all going to come crashing down. You don't know what blessing is on the other side until you stop. You don't know what you're missing. And you don't know what it will cost you if you continue. You don't know what you're missing, and you don't know what it'll cost you if you continue. If you're doing something that's not good, and you don't stop, you have no idea what it may eventually cost you. Let's just think about Moses. What would have happened to Moses if he would have kept pushing himself? We see it all the time in our culture. Nervous breakdown. Depression, health issues, heart issues, high blood pressure. He could begin to resent God. See, we have no idea what it would have cost him if he hadn't stopped. So think about what is not good in your life, and then do your best to play it forward. Play the story forward. Where is this going? Again, because direction, not intention, determines destination. He followed Jethro's advice precisely. What direction is your story going right now? Keep on overeating. Keep ignoring your body. Keep abusing your body. What's going to happen? I mean, play the story forward. What's going to happen if you keep going the way that you're going? Maybe you missed the opportunity to walk your daughter down the aisle. You may never see your grandkids. You may battle with other health issues for another 10 or 20 years before your body finally gives up. And look, I'm not trying to be dramatic. I'm trying to get you to think. See, intuitively, we know this stuff. We know this. I mean, guys, keep looking at porn. Yeah, you haven't been caught yet. Hasn't cost you anything yet. Just keep going until you've devastated and crushed your wife. And she says, "Was I not enough for you?" Play the story out. How does it turn out? Hey, keep nagging your husband, because you're good at it. Keep going. Tear him up. Now, your marriage is already tenuous. And look, he's not a great man. So keep making him worse. Keep tearing him down. Where does that story lead? See, we really have to go back to the question that we asked last week. What does God want you to want? What does God want you to want? to really write the story that you want to tell, you need to want what God wants you to want. What does God want you to want in your life? If you believe in God, there's a very good chance that you will recognize that there's something different that God wants in your life. God wants me to be more focused on my family. God wants me to grow up spiritually. God wants me to get my finances under control. God wants me to take care of my body. God wants me to be more involved with my children. You know, God wants me to do something to make a difference in this world. He wants me to serve in ministry. He wants me to be a missionary. He wants me to go on a missions trip. He wants me to do something to make a difference in this world. What does God want you to want? And here's the application question. In light of what God wants you to want, what do you need to stop? What do you need to stop? What does God want you to stop? In light of the story that God wants you to tell, in light of what God wants you to want, what do you need to stop so that you can live the story that God wants you to tell? What decision to stop do you need to make today in order to tell the right story tomorrow? Now, there's so many places that this can go. All right, so pick one. All right, pick one. If you pick five, you may not stop any of them. Just pick one thing that you need to stop. And we have to think about this on two levels. This isn't in your notes, but you might want to write it down. We have to think about this externally and internally. Is there something external? Is there something that I do externally that I need to stop? And is there something that I do internally that I need to stop? Maybe you need to stop something externally. Maybe you need to stop flipping people off on the 405. You need to stop getting high. You need to stop doing drugs. There's something dangerous. There's something external that you need to stop. Now, here's the thing. Some of us, we're pretty good at behavioral modification. We're good at, you know, reining in the things that we do externally. We've stopped doing most of the dangerous external junk. And many of us that, you know, kind of grew up in this whole church thing and we've been following Christ for a long time, we're really proud of ourselves. In fact, we're self-righteous. Look how good I am. Look at all the stuff I've stopped. Well, maybe it's not external. Maybe it's something internal that we need to stop. And listen, the most dangerous forces are not external, they are internal. It is our internal, our sin nature, that gets us into so much trouble. You need to stop the bad attitude. You need to stop being so critical. You need to stop worrying. Some of you need to stop wrecking yourself. Internally, you kill yourself every day. You're no good, you're no good, you never amount to anything. You may need to stop something internally. And the decisions that you make today will determine the story you tell tomorrow. There's something you need to stop. Let me ask you again. In light of what God wants you to want, what do you need to stop? In light of what God wants you to want, just pick one thing. What does God want you to stop? Now, look, I made a list. I made a list just to get you thinking. Okay, just some things to think about. You need to stop being a slave to social media. Put down the phone. engage. Nobody loves it more than me. Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Tumblr. Stop. Likes and follows and comments. Stop. There's a particular person in my life, and if I could, I would break into her house and steal her like button. It's my mom. Hope she's not listening. Stop. And I kid, but seriously, some of you, stop. Stop. You know, some of you need to stop trying to control everybody. You need to stop trying to control everybody and everything. You're driving your spouse away. You're driving your kids away. Stop being a control freak. You need to stop being judgmental. You need to stop being critical. You pick everything apart. Stop smoking weed, stop smoking cigarettes, stop drinking, because you're addicted. And you're on the way to being an alcoholic. And stop hanging with those people, because they're taking you down. Stop. Hey, look, you need to stop dating that guy. Oh, but he has so much potential. And I know all my friends and my mom and dad and teachers and my sorority sisters and everyone who loves me feels like he's no good, but they don't know him like I do. Stop. Stop. Some of you need to stop eating junk. Hey, stop blaming God for something he didn't do. Stop allowing that person to hurt you over and over and over again. Stop holding a grudge. Stop trying to get even. What do you need to stop? What do you need to stop to tell the story that God wants you to tell? Let's go back to Hebrews 12, to the verse before the author-initiator part. Hebrews 12:1. He says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight. Strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance the race God has set before us." There is a race. There is a life that God wants you to live, that God wants you to run. And did you see that? You have to strip off every weight that slows you down. That's what I'm talking about. Pick one thing that slows you down and stop. Identify one thing that could hinder your future story and strip it off. Stop it. Throw it away. Stop. Strip off the stuff that slows you down. And he says, especially the sin that so easily trips you up. And then run and live with endurance the race, the life that God has set before us. See, we do it by keeping our eyes on Jesus. That's really what we're talking about. We're talking about keeping our eyes on Jesus. We're talking about wanting what God wants. We're not talking about behavior modification. We're talking about a spiritual transformation. You hear from God and you stop doing something that is hindering your future story. Jethro said, "And may God be with you." And then he said again, make sure you check with God first, but this may be something that you want to do. When you figure out what God wants you to do, you start. And when you figure out what God wants you to stop doing, you stop. You decide to start and you decide to stop. Now, you might step back today and you might think, look, I've tried. I've tried and I've tried and I've tried and I can't. I can't stop. Listen. You can stop anything that God calls you to stop. You can stop anything that God calls you to stop. By the power of Jesus Christ, you can stop anything that he calls you to stop, because the same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead lives inside of you if you're a Christ follower. And you can stop anything that Jesus calls you to stop. You know why this is so important? It's because the decisions that we make today determine the stories that we'll tell tomorrow. And it doesn't matter what you hope, and it doesn't matter what you intend. Direction, not intention, determines destination. I don't care what you want. I don't care what you hope. Direction, not intention, determines your destination. And if you're writing the wrong story, stop and stop today. And let me just tell you something that we're not even going to talk about today. Every decision that you make, every direction that you take, every path that you walk down, it affects your wife and it affects your kids and it affects your grandkids, it affects your friends, your relationships, everybody. Stop. Some of you are killing your family. You are literally ripping the guts out of your family. Stop. Look, nobody's perfect. Nobody's story is perfect. Yours isn't, mine isn't, but our stories are not finished. And Jesus will help us live the story that we want to tell. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Put your eyes on Jesus and keep your eyes on Jesus, and he will be the initiator and the author and the perfecter of your faith. He will grow your faith, and you can live the story that you and God want you to tell. But you got to stop. Would you pray with me? Father, we know that you're present today. And we know that your Holy Spirit dwells within every person who submitted their life to Jesus Christ. And Father, every single one of us has something today that we need to stop. And Father, our prayer is that, first of all, you would enlighten us, that you would show us this thing that must stop. Father, show us what you want us to want. Show us, Father, what we have to stop to live a story that we want to tell. And Father, after you've shown us, we ask that we would submit to your will, and then you would empower us to stop, to strip off, to ditch everything that slows us down in this race, in this life that you want us to live. And Father, lead us down a path that we can be proud of, and lead us down a path so that we might tell a story that would bring honor and glory to you. And we pray this in the amazing and saving name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. God bless you guys. Have a great day. I'll see you next Sunday.